You're listening to The Daily Traditionalist with Matthew Heidmark at RadioArian.com.
Hello, comrades. This is your host of the Daily Traditionalist, Matthew Heimbach, and I'm here today to continue the day of celebration, because when you win this hard, you can't just limit it to one day. You've got to keep it rolling, and it's something that we see that the left is starting to lose its mind in America, and that's something that we're going to talk about today, and I'm joined by my good friend Sven Longshank. Sven, how are you feeling? I mean, I know after Brexit, even as an American, I was happy for days, because the system took such a hit. The people's voice was heard. It was very exciting for me. Across the pond, how are things going? And how are you feeling now that we're in day two of a victory?
Well, I'm still feeling just as good as I was yesterday, Matt. I'm grinning from ear to ear. I've just got songs going on in my head, walking on sunshine. I feel like I'm walking on air. It's amazing. It's just, you know, total victory. And it keeps getting better and better. The narrative is already changing on our news channels. They've stopped ridiculing him, and they're starting to talk about his policies. And they're no longer sort of saying, well, you can't do this. You can't possibly do this. They're saying, well, this is what he's going to do. And people are calling in, and they're calmly explaining to them what these policies are and what he's hoping to achieve. And this is the first time that we've actually heard them discussing this. So I can see them changing the narrative already. And also, just looking at the riots that have been going on, I'm just amazed that this is being allowed to happen. And you've got effigies of Donald Trump outside Trump Tower hanging from a noose. I was just looking at that and I was thinking, just imagine what would have happened if, when Obama got elected to office, if any of us had then gone out there with a black man hanging from a noose. You know, we would have been looking at a time inside for doing something like that. And yet this is just being allowed to go on. They're just behaving like spoiled brats, Matt. That's the way it seems to me. And I think that is the way it's going to seem to anybody over the age of 30, to be honest, because they do seem to be very young as well, naive. They've all been taken in by what they've seen on the television. They've all believed all the rubbish that they've been taught. And they've got together with all the blacks and the Jews and all the people that have funded these riots that are going under the name of protest. And they've all been taken in by it. And hopefully we will see Trump crack down on this. But one thing that I know that will happen is that the media's narrative is going to change, because the media cannot sit there and then promote these riots that are going on now and continue to promote Black Lives Matter if you've got a president who speaks out against it. You know, they just cannot do it any longer. And besides that, I mean, he's already spoken about changing the media. He knows just how many lies they tell and just how much of this has been stirred up by the media. So I really think they are going to have to change their tack. They're going to have to start sacking a lot of their news anchors as well, because a couple of them have spoken out. And commenters, British commenters and American commenters, have been calling in and chastising these newsreaders and saying, how dare you? How dare you attack a democratically elected leader like this? This has happened twice now in Britain with these newsreaders, and all the comment sections in the on the mainstream newspapers are full of people supporting this. You know, this has come as a real shock to the establishment. This is a real punch on the nose for the establishment, both sides of the Atlantic. And it's absolutely fantastic, Matt. It feels absolutely brilliant. And I'm sure you must be even more elated than I am.
Well, and it's such an exciting thing, Sven. And, you know, as you mentioned, when it comes to the clear double standard, you know, it's funny, for the past 8 years, Occupy Democrats and all the progressive Facebook pages and stuff say to not respect the democratically elected president, that that isn't disobedience, that is treason and all these sorts of things. And now they're calling for people to riot in the streets. So that just goes to show the clear double standard. Of course, we know, as you mentioned, you know, the idea of lynching an effigy of Donald Trump right there in front of Trump Tower. I mean, that's like almost going to someone's home. That's his business. To do that would, you know, should be considered a violation of civil rights based on legislation enforced over the past 8 years. We had a student at Ole Miss just a few years ago who now did time because he placed an old flag over the statue of the first black student who integrated Ole Miss, and a noose, and it was a drunken prank, and you know you shouldn't have done it, but obviously you weren't violating anyone's physical civil rights, but he was actually charged with a civil rights violation of an inanimate object. And if that doesn't go to show you how the left cracks down and punishes things that, you know, might be stupid, might not be productive, but drunken pranks versus, you know, being out there in the streets, people spray painting on buildings in Philadelphia and in California, you know, kill Trump and things like that. This is what these radical protesters are actually doing. They're actually calling for imminent violence against a democratically elected president-elect. And when you want to talk about the cattiness and the spoiled nature, first of all, you know, the young thing I think is very important. But I was reading a poll just last night, and millennials turned out for Trump over 10 percentage points higher than was initially forecasted. So it was actually about 4 in 10 millennials turned out and voted for Trump, which if you look in terms of demographics, that means in terms of white demographics, a huge percentage of everyday young whites. I mean, the people that are here on the Daily Stormer and the Traditionalist Worker Party and other organizations in the alt-right, we turned out in huge numbers. The pollsters can't understand it. So even as American demographics are shifting, yes, the millennial vote went overwhelmingly for Hillary Clinton, but a large percentage, which would be a supermajority of the white millennials, turned out for President Trump. So that to me is very exciting. It's encouraging. You know, numbers they use to kind of twist a lot of times to say, oh, well, the majority of millennials voted for Hillary Clinton. Yes, that's due to demographic changes primarily, but more millennials turned out for Trump than they did Mitt Romney. And that goes to tell me that young whites are waking up. So that's really encouraging. Again, Donald Trump not being a white nationalist, what he represents is this fundamental shift in American politics. And that's such an exciting thing to be able to see that, especially young whites, this isn't just reactionary. And you know, millions and millions of former factory workers and of coal miners and their families, people have been hit by globalism, hit by immigration in the Midwest and Appalachia, you know, in the American South, places like that, turned out by the millions. And that's great. And that shows us the revolutionary potential of the white working class. But also, to add into this, a huge percentage of white millennials jumping on board. So after all of the indoctrination at our universities, all the indoctrination within our media, all this idea that, you know, the ideas of nationalism are going to be educated out of our children, that some of the most educated, you know, the most educated generation in human history, the whites are turning out overwhelmingly in terms of tribal interests. So that to me is really exciting. And I wanted to ask your opinion on something that I thought was very interesting. Of course, President-elect Trump went to the White House today. It's a standard procedure to be able to have the president-elect and the current president meet to discuss transition. And of course, the last time a Republican was going to enter the office, actually the Clintons went ahead and stole everything with a W in the White House. You want to talk about catty? The Clintons actually took a lot of the artifacts and the furniture and things like that out of the White House. But even on every keyboard in the White House, they took out everything with a W on it. So very catty. And President Obama and President-elect Trump meeting just this morning, happening right now as we're doing this live show. But the Obamas canceled a photo op between the current couple and the future first couple that's supposed to happen on the south entrance of the White House. This is something that happened in 2008, that President Obama and Mrs. Obama actually met with President Bush, and they did this picture. So Republicans and Democrats doing this to one another, being respectful. This is a common tradition in America, but the Obamas are breaking it. They didn't want to be pictured and follow this tradition. So I wonder what the meeting's going to be like, because, of course, just a few days ago, it's amazing what can change in just a few days, but just a few days ago, President Obama was saying that Donald Trump was unfit to be the president, mocked his experience, mocked and attacked him, and said that it would be, you know, absolutely horrible for him to be president, that he was unqualified, temperamentally unfit, all these things. And now he's got to sit down across from him and talk about a 4-year Trump presidency, hopefully an 8-year Trump presidency. But to me, I want to know your thoughts on that, Sven, because it just seems very catty, and this continues, I think, a really tragic thing when it just goes to show that that the left, of course, doesn't actually believe in our institutions. And of course, we as white nationalists don't believe in the democratic process either. that we believe that in nationalist policies. And but it seems that the Democrats, that they put everything on believing in this idea of American democracy and respect. Everything for the last 8 years was, you need to respect the president, even as he's flooding your country with third world immigrants, even as he's going to restrict our fundamental rights, even though when he supports destroying state sovereignty, when he supports murdering the unborn, we're supposed to respect him. That's what we got told. But now that he won't even be pictured with Donald Melania Trump. So what do you think on that?
Well, do you think he's actually going to leave anything in the White House when he goes? You're mentioning the problems with the last one. I know for certain that the Trumps are going to have to bring lots of air freshener with them when they do get in there. And one thing I did see, which really did sort of strike a chord, really, I saw a tweet from somebody and they said, thankfully, at last, some children in the White House that my children can look up to. Instead of twerking monkeys. And this, you know, really sort of struck a chord with me. And, you know, one thing that I thought when I first saw Trump accepting that he was president was finally, at last, the beautiful people are in charge again. And we have got beautiful people at the top. And of course, he doesn't want to be seen with Donald Trump. And he's basically behaving in the leftist way of being spoiled. And when you don't get your own way, you throw your toys out of the pram. So that's what Obama is doing. He's throwing his toys out of the pram. He's saying, no, I'm not going to be sitting there shaking hands with you in this traditional picture that has always gone on with these presidents before, because I don't like you, basically. He's refusing to accept that the democratic principle says that the most people that vote for the president means that that president gets in. It's the same thing that we're seeing here with Brexit, Matt, where we've got the people that didn't want to leave the European Union that are refusing to accept the result of the vote. And you wouldn't expect that from, you know, from the actual head of the Republic, of the Democratic Party, the actual sitting president at the moment. You would not expect that from him, but you would expect that from Negro. I mean, I'm afraid this is Negro behavior, which I think is the reason for this, because I think if it had been somebody that was white, they like Clinton, she accepted defeat. She went and made her speech. She did exactly what the defeated person does, but Obama is refusing to do that. He's refusing to have this photograph taken. I would like to be a fly on the wall and see what was actually said there. And talking of him actually going and meeting these other politicians, Theresa May has spoken to him today, and apparently they got on very well. He's invited her to come over as soon as possible, and he's reiterated this what he said before he actually got voted in, which was that Britain would be going to the front of the queue on these trade deals. So it's actually looking really, really good between Britain and America once again. I know we've always had this supposed special friendship, but we really haven't had anything to actually prove that over the last couple of decades. And now that Donald Trump is in there, I think we are going to see Britain and America working together. And I think this is really going to help push the Conservative Party further towards the right, which is something that I've been discussing with you for the last couple, well, ever since Brexit, I think, Matt, is that it's pushing the Conservative Party to the right. They're starting to make policies that are leaning towards the right. And just to see that she's already getting on well with Donald Trump, I find it very encouraging. And she also never knocked him when he was on the campaign trail. You know, she was one of very few of our politicians not to attack him. She very wisely kept quiet. I know she banned you from coming into Britain, but you know, apart from that, she's not doing too badly now that she's actually Prime Minister. I'd really like to see both of them working together. But and just one more thing before I pass it back over to you. Back to these riots. One of the things that I noticed, obviously, you said that they were trampling the American flag, burning the American flag. There were people waving the Mexican flag, a foreign flag that was waving there. This is what the Obama administration has devolved into. Foreigners waving their own flags in America, rioting, lynching effigies of the new president. This is what the Obama administration has done to America. This is what putting a Negro in the top position has done for America. And now to top it all off, he's refusing to have his photograph taken with the white man that has to come in afterwards and clear up all his mess, basically.
Well, and it's such an interesting thing to be able to see how things are changing. You know, maybe Theresa May will rethink my ban. In 5 years, my ban gets brought up for evaluation. There's no appeal process, but they look at it every 5 years. So maybe with the way things will change, maybe I'll be able to come to the UK before too long. That'd be pretty exciting. But this rightward push is important. That's why we as nationalists must maintain our position on the real right to be able to force the conservatives into our position, to be able to force them to the right, because the left is going more left, more anti-white, more anti-national, and things are really changing. And something I thought was really funny with this, actually, before I get into that, I just want to say, talking about the riots. So now they're organizing riots at the inauguration. They're talking about we need to be there, all sorts of protesting. But I would suggest this might be a good opportunity for the alt-right and for nationalists to be able to come together, not so much to do a demonstration or anything like that, but to be able to see the inauguration, to come together in fellowship. So what we're going to suggest with the Traditionalist Worker Party is being able to call our members to be able to go to Washington, D.C. for the inauguration in January, and then be able to go and have some private fellowship time and get some food, smoke some cigars, celebrate, and have a great time. And I would encourage, whether it's the Daily Storm or book clubs or other organizations to do the same, to be able to go and be able to see this historic event and then be able to use it as an opportunity to network with one another, to be able to plan, because, of course, 2016 was a great current year. 2017 is going to be better. But it takes us especially forming that human connection with one another, meeting one another in person. I think that'll help our movement. So I would encourage any of our listeners to try and be there in Washington, D.C. And we're going to make some more official plans as time goes on. But I think that'd be a great opportunity for all of us to come together. But the next news item that I think is very interesting is the Mexican peso is taking hit after hit after hit, because they know that it's over. And that's so exciting to me that the Mexican economy is taking a hit, not because of the impact it has on the Mexican people, but that the status quo is changing. When you've got $25 billion of remittances every year being taken out of the American economy, sent to the Mexican economy, what's happened is very similar to what's happened in the United States with income inequality on these Jewish oligarchs. So you've got this very small elite in Mexico where free trade benefits them, it benefits their bottom line, and they've essentially abandoned their people so much that these low-wage workers that have been forced off their land due to things like NAFTA come to the United States, have to compete with American workers, lowers all of our wages, to be able to supply even a basic standard of living for the Mexican people. You have Mexicans in America sending back over $25 billion a year just to be able to get things like clean water or fix schools or build housing complexes. These are for the poorest Mexicans having to rely on their brothers, their sisters, their fathers coming to America to send this money home. It's because the corrupt elites are run by the same people that the United States government is. So when you look at the destroyed Rust Belt communities, the destroyed Appalachian communities, the same thing has happened in Mexico. So what I think when I see the Mexican peso taking a hit, I don't see that, you know, it's tragic any impact that might have the average Mexican person. But that to me tells me there is a fundamental shift in understanding of where the economies are going to go. We're going to get rid of these free trade deals if Donald Trump follows his promises, which is going to mean it's going to help not only American workers, but Mexican workers. Because with free trade, all the people who benefit are the bankers and the capitalists. So this is actually a great opportunity. You know, things like illegal immigration, building the wall is great, enforcing our immigration laws are great. But if we can end these free trade agreements, if we can make the Mexican government have to be responsible for their own people and be able to encourage growth amongst their own people economically and socially, then that'll help all people. Then the Mexican people won't have to come all the way to places like Indiana, where I live, to look for low-wage jobs just to be able to help family back home. That this is what the Jewish oligarchs and the capitalists do to be able to have this global race to the bottom, to be able to exploit all peoples. So nationalism is good for our people, it's good for our communities, it's good for our future, but I hope this will also be good for the Mexican people, because I have no ill will towards them. They're coming here because the Jews destroyed their country, just like the Jews are destroying our country, just like the Jews have destroyed dozens of countries previously. So I think this might be a great opportunity for more fellowship between nationalists on both sides of the Rio Grande to be able to work against the Jewish oligarchs together. So I wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Well, I think it's dropped by 45%, the Mexican peso, which is a good thing, because, you know, the reason for that is because the jobs are going to be coming back to America. I don't understand why it's such, why putting America first is such a bad thing. I mean, they've been saying that all protectionism, America's going to go back to protectionism. But what is protectionism? It's protecting jobs for your nation. It's doing what is best for your nation. Making America great again is doing what's best for America. Now, if America is doing what's best for America, that means Britain has to start doing what's best for Britain. That means France has to do what's best for France. And that means Mexico has to start doing what's best for Mexico. And it is best to be self-sufficient so that you don't rely on other people. We used to take such pride in the things that we had created ourselves. We used to take pride in Sheffield Steel. I know that in America, you used to take pride in things that were made in America, made in Britain. This is what we want to see again. We want to see things being made by our own people. And you, I mean, I know that we've discussed this before, Matt, but this goes back to when we used to have to make everything for ourselves. You know, when we used to have to make our own clothes and make our own eating utensils. They found artifacts of eating utensils that people used to make for themselves. And there'd be all intricate carvings on them, you know, things that would take years to make because it was made by themselves and it was unique to themselves and they took pride in what they'd made. And once that went on from there, evolved from making things for yourself to making things with a group of you in a co-op or so that you could make something for the nation and the community to use, that pride was still there. And as soon as usury came into it and everything was about making the most money, instead of making the best quality goods, people started making the most goods that they could possibly make and skimping and trying to make as much money as they could. And then it went on from that to shipping the goods abroad so that you get the cheapest quality goods and then making sure that they're going to actually break apart so that you have to buy new ones. So what I think what you're going to see now is a call for more quality. Because what do people want? They don't really want a choice. What they want is the best. They want the best quality, not the most quantity. I mean, I really couldn't care less the amount of quantity of different types of shoes that I can get. I want a pair of shoes that are going to keep me warm and dry and that aren't going to fall apart after a year. You know, that sort of thing. We want good quality stuff that's made within our own countries by our own people. So we know that when we buy goods, when we buy products, that money is going back into the nation and we can feel safe spending the money in the nation. And then we know that we've got the best quality product. I mean, this just seems like common sense to me, Matt. And yet we're told that this is somehow a bad thing. Well, I think the blindfolds are coming off the people. They're realizing that making a country great again and being patriotic, being a nationalist is good. And these riots, the blindfolds have to be coming off the public's eyes when they see what's going on over there, Matt. I mean, just burning down towns, burning effigies, refusing to accept that the people's will have said that there's going to be a new president and it's not Hillary Clinton. And surely Donald Trump has got to clamp down on this. I mean, I'm really pleased that the left are doing this because he has got to see all of this and see that it's aimed personally. It's personally aimed at him. It's not just aimed at the right or the alt-right. It's personally aimed at him. Effigies of him being hanged. He has got to clamp down on this and he's got to clamp down on the media that has encouraged it. I know he's said that he's going to get rid of that Common Core as well. When you look through the things that he's going to do, I'm just amazed. I do feel like I'm still walking on sunshine, Matt. It's, you know, it really is the best damn current year ever.
Well, and it's kind of an amazing thing, and you have to see how real this is getting. I'm looking at Infowars.com that actually, you know, now more often than not, sounds more like an alt-right site, which is pretty amazing. But they've got video here in Chicago of a group of black men that drag an older white man out of his vehicle and beat him, screaming, "You voted for Trump, you voted for Trump." Now, looking at the video, I see no indication this guy voted for Trump other than he was white. So that should tell us something, first of all, that these other groups are being riled up to be able to view all whites as Trump supporters, which means they view Trump as a white candidate. You know, making America great again means putting things back to fair in many cases. Trump is not a white nationalist, but getting rid of the system that Barack Obama and then, of course, George W. Bush and the Clintons have been able to put in, getting rid of that they don't like that. But we're talking about mob violence in the streets. I mean, this looks like a lynching to me. If you're dragging someone out of your vehicle and beating them because of the color of their skin, that would be a civil rights violation. That would be, the Justice Department would be involved if it was on the reverse. But of course we know, into this current system, beating whites just because they're white isn't a crime. But under President Trump, hopefully we'll see law and order return to our streets. So remember this human element. We got to keep fighting, keep advocating, and the momentum is with us, but the victory and the battle is just beginning. So Sven, thank you so much for being here today. Again, so excited to be able to see the rise of nationalism. We're marching forward. And to my listeners, ladies and gentlemen, mark your calendars. Plan to be there in Washington, D.C. to be able to have some fellowship and celebrate the swearing in of our brand new president. So I hope everyone has a great day. I'll look forward to being here tomorrow. And as always, hail victory.
I've named the Jews Stein after Stein. Every last sentence is a verbal hate crime. Tasted Trump steaks, I've cooked a few. I've had conservatives drinking my race. Now I see through. Awakened and roused, he rose to the call. He brought us hats and dubstep and everything that goes with it. Let's build the wall. But they said Jeb was chosen. A Bush couldn't lose. Donald stumped him and everyone else in the race, even Lion Ted Cruz.
We are the Trump.